Welcome to this latest edition of the Food Systems Podcast, brought to you by the Forum for the Future of Agriculture. My name is Mark Titrington, and I'll be your host for the next 20 minutes or so as we talk to Deanna Kovar, President of the Worldwide Agriculture and Turf Division at John Deere. Deanna, thanks so much indeed for taking time to come on the show and join us today. Lots going on at John Deere, I know. Lots going on in the agri-food system as a whole. I suppose I'd like to start, if I can do, with just asking you how John Deere is leading the transformation towards sustainable technologies, precision agriculture technologies, digital innovations in the agriculture machinery industry to drive change and promote sustainability.
Yeah, hi, Mark, and thanks for having me, and thanks for the question. I could literally spend the next 20 minutes telling you a whole lot of different ways in which John Deere is leading the charts to help our farmers. And, you know, it really starts with our higher purpose, and that's we run so life can leap forward. And when we're talking about running for life to leap forward, our number one goal is to make John Deere customers the most profitable and most sustainable farmers in the world. And we're doing that through a number of ways, primarily, like you said, through precision ag technologies. And we've been on this quest for over 25 years in precision agriculture, starting way back in 1998, when we started monitoring and mapping yield out of the combine so farmers could make better decisions. And from there, we've delivered numerous technologies based on GPS, like yield mapping in the 2010s with connectivity. We took a whole new level into data management and helping farmers collect and use and make important decisions from data. And now as we turn the corner in the 2020s, we're very focused on sense and act technologies in which farmers are able to use computer vision and machine learning to allow the machines that are doing the work in the field to be superhuman and make decisions on the go that are allowing us to reduce inputs and grow yields all over the world.
I brought a collection delegation of landowners from Europe to the US last year, and we had the privilege to come to one of your innovation centers, I think we'd call it that, in Louisiana. And that really brought to life for us exactly what you just said, and reinforces in many ways my own view that this is perhaps one of the most exciting times there's ever been to work in food and agriculture. So thanks for sharing that into those opening insights with us. You know, whether we talk about growing climate solutions in the US or the Green Deal in Europe, sustainability is obviously, you know, top of mind for a lot of us in the food and agriculture system today. And I know for you, just tell us a little bit about what specific efforts you are making at John Deere, the collaborations that you've got to improve the environmental footprint, the efficiency, the sustainability of your offerings, obviously, across the ag value chain, but to help make our farmers and ranchers, wherever they are, as sustainable as possible.
So over 2 years ago, we launched what we call our LEAP ambitions. It's how we're going to measure ourselves against our smart industrial strategy. And it sets out goals for us to meet in 2026 and 2030. And there's a number of goals in there. But I think what's important for this conversation is we've laid out several key milestones around sustainability. And of course, as any good corporate American global company, we've got sustainability goals about John Deere, about how our factories run, about how our equipment will become even more sustainable in the future. But what we understand is that on the farm, the equipment is actually a very small part of the impact environmentally. The actual bigger opportunities are for us to help farmers become more efficient with the inputs that they use, things like fertilizer, herbicides, and pesticides. And so two goals we laid out was to, by 2026, have our customers be 20% more efficient in their nutrient use and pesticide use on the farm. So that means usage per bushel of or kilogram or ton of output. We want to help them drive those efficiencies because, in fact, things like fertilizers are over two-thirds of the CO2 emissions that happen in broad acre agriculture today. So we can have a much bigger impact on environmental sustainability by helping our farmers become more efficient with their inputs. And that's where we're putting a tremendous amount of focus. We last year launched a product that works on planters. Today, about 50% of farmers that grow corn use a starter pop-up fertilizer that allows them to make sure that corn gets out of the corn seed, turns into a plant, and gets out of the ground quickly. But they only need that fertilizer on the seed. And the historical approach was just to put it throughout the entire seed trench. And now with ExactShot, we're reducing 2/3 of the starter fertilizer, which is a huge CO2 impact and economical impact for the farmer, that they can still get the value of starter fertilizer while reducing the cost and the CO2 impact by 2/3. And so those are just some of the very, very early technologies that we are bringing out to help with this problem. And we're continuing to focus on how we help our farmers be the most efficient. And that's the beautiful part about agriculture is, you know, in many industries, environmental improvement is in conflict with economic improvement. But in agriculture, the environmental improvement is almost always an economic value as well, because we're working to help farmers become more efficient, to lower their costs and increase their yields so that they can get more with less. And that's 100% of what we're focused on. And that's why we laid out customer-focused sustainability goals in our LEAP ambitions over 2 years ago. And we're on track. We're moving forward, and we're having a great opportunity to impact both farmer profitability, but also impact our environment that all of us need.
I wonder if I could just push you a little bit further on that, you know, maybe as much of a personal perspective as a John Deere perspective. You I'm sure are aware of the protests that we've seen really right across northwestern Europe from farmers who are clearly concerned that they're being asked to do more and yet not environmentally sustainability climate-wise, and yet a feeling that they're not necessarily seeing the value of that. Their incomes are not, it's not showing up in their incomes. As much as your statement certainly resonates with me in terms of the efficiencies and the productivity gains that you're delivering to farmers, do you think we're doing enough collectively as an industry to help farmers see have the clear line of sight between the sustainability efforts they're making and how that's going to show up in their income statements? And you know, are we doing enough, I suppose, to support that transition?
Well, I would start with, you know, our goal is always to create solutions that have economic value. That is where we're seeking to invest our billions of dollars a year, is to find those sweet spots in which there's economic value and environmental value. We're not going to invest in solutions that just have environmental value. We're going to look for those, and there's plenty of them, right? That's the good news, is there's plenty of them. And so our focus 100% is, first and foremost, we know that a farmer won't adopt it unless there is some level of certainty to drive economic value. And that's a very important part of our work, to figure out what's the next product we're going to invest in and where and how. And that's the way the industry has to think about this. The industry has to be understanding that farmers are business people, that it is a global agricultural community, and lowest cost and efficiency is going to be a key part in whether farmers can continue to survive and thrive, which is our goal, in an industry in which we know we have to do better. We have to do better. And so I don't think we can ever have enough industry collaboration and industry coordination, from inputs to equipment to technology, all the way through the food chain, and how do we tell the story of the value that has already been created from an environmental standpoint in tools that are available and have been available for years. One great example to me is AutoTrack, the auto guidance solution that John Deere launched in 2002. We ship AutoTrack on every self-propelled vehicle that goes into production agriculture today. All of the tractors have it in. Many of the other products are capable and just need to unlock it. And that technology has been around for 25 years, and it saves 10% of inputs right off the bat, because you reduce the overlap that farmers have historically had to make sure they covered the entire field. And so part of our opportunity is to ensure that those baseline technologies are used by everybody and we're getting that benefit. But then as an industry, we must communicate how environmentally sustainable farmers already are and how focused they are on it. Because again, being environmentally focused is good for their pocketbook and it's good for sustainability. And we must work together to communicate that. I think bio-based fuels is another great example. Today, they get a bit of a black eye for you know, perceptions around what it takes to grow a soybean or canola or camelina or whatever it is that's going to be the feedstock going in. But we know through our data that farmers are more sustainable today, and that through our data, and it is the farmers' data that we're leveraging in an aggregate way, we know that those bio-based fuels are actually way more sustainable than we're getting credit for. So we have a huge opportunity as an industry to tell the farmer's story. That's why John Deere started showing up at a consumer electronics show 5 years ago in Las Vegas, because we knew there was a story to be told about technology and agriculture. And we do it because we want people to know where their food comes from. And we want to show them that farmers are actually the heroes in this story. And it's a great opportunity, I think. And we have to come together as an industry to do that, because no one of our voices is large enough to counter the other voices in the room.
There's so much of what you said there that is you know, again, resonates with me in terms of the opportunities that we have. Again, whether I talk to European farmers or US ones or anywhere around the world, I've never met one yet that doesn't want to be more sustainable. And certainly when you show them the profitability that can come with that and provide them with the tools and technologies, they tend to jump into it with both hands. I want to just come back to partnerships in a second, but you know, one of the things that's been evident in the protests that we've seen in Europe, this charge of there's too much administrative burden on the farmer that we're asking for. My perception is that John Deere's got quite a few solutions there that are already helping to reduce that administrative burden and enable them to make sense of the data and to use it to again drive improvements in productivity and profitability on the farm. Is that true?
Yeah, Mark, it is 100% true. And I'll give you two examples, but let me start with the foundation of where our opportunity comes from. And that's in 2011, we chose to start connecting every one of our machines. So no longer did farmers have to move their data through what we used to call sneaker net with their own feet and a USB stick. Now, through technology, we're able to move that data real time. Farmers can see within seconds what's happening on the farm, no matter where they are. And we created the ag industry's most used digital cloud-based platform in John Deere Operations Center. We are connected with over 200 other software companies that push and pull data to and from. So we're the most connected software tool, cloud-based platform in the industry. And what that's allowed us to do is now help farmers to use that data that they first collected in binders on their shelves for over 10, 15 years. Now with Operations Center, it's in their pocket on their mobile phone. We're now helping them to use that to benefit from the sustainability practices that they're using. And today we have two sustainability programs in the U.S. that are linked to John Deere Operations Center, Cargill Regen, and the Cotton Trust Protocol. And we will have more and more. And throughout John Deere Operations Center limits the burden of participating in those programs. On the other side, for our dairy and livestock customers all over the world, Europe, US, we've partnered with Day Lavelle to create the Milk Sustainability Center. And really, this is an opportunity to start with for farmers to actually understand their impact, their sustainability score today, and see opportunities to improve it in the future. And we will grow on the Milk Sustainability Center. And we believe dairy farmers in Europe will be able to tell their neighbors or their milk processor just how sustainable they are and really start to tell that story. These tools also help farmers to collect the data that they need to provide to the regulators, unfortunately, that are regulating some of these things as well. And so we are definitely collecting all of the data. When you connect your fleet, it's automatic that this data flows, and we're creating tools for farmers to not have to use a notebook in the cab, but instead to go do the work and do the best job they can do in executing their jobs. And we'll be there to collect the data and share it on their behalf as they give us, as they tell us to, and make it easier, because data, it can be a burden, but it shouldn't be a burden. It should be a tool in the toolbox of farmers everywhere to make better decisions economically and environmentally for today and for this year, but also importantly for the future years and the future generations.
Yeah, but really, really appreciate that, Deanna. I mean, we, you know, I said earlier that to my mind, it's never been a more exciting time to work in food and agriculture. And just some of those examples that you provide, you know, certainly bear that out for me, and I'm sure for many of our listeners today. Let me just bring you back to that partnerships, you know, point that you touched on earlier. I mean, you know, transformation always requires multiple stakeholders in order to be able to support it. No one company, organization, or government can do it on their own. Just tell me a bit more about what how you see, especially public-private partnerships, important to us everywhere, but, you know, certainly top of mind in Europe. And those industry-wide efforts, you touched on it a bit earlier. What role do you think they play in advancing the sustainable practices that we want, driving adoption, and helping us to achieve the objectives that we've set out?
Well, as I mentioned before, not one of us can transform this industry alone. You know, we've said for years, farmers don't farm alone. There's a whole group of people on every individual farm that helps them to make decisions and drive forward where they get their thoughts and their advice and their thought leadership. And so at the micro level on the farm, all the way up to public-private relationships and cooperation, it has to happen. It has to happen. And at John Deere, we are always involved. We see ourselves as a leader, right? We don't want to be on the sidelines relative to how together we can change an industry. So we're working hard to be leaders, whether that's in things like CEMA, the European Agricultural Machinery Association, right? Where we work hard to take a leadership role in driving thought leadership and policy type opportunities. It's for things, you know, we are focused. I mentioned earlier that the equipment's not the biggest creator of CO2 on the farm, but we still know we have to do better. And so we have a goal to reduce 30% by 2030, 30% of our CO2 emitted from our equipment in real value. So that means as we grow as a company and sell more products, we have to do even better on a per unit basis. And to do that, we're of course working with our great engineers to do efficiency gains in the current products of diesel combustion engines, but we're working with the European Hydrogen Commission on what could that be in the long, long term as gaseous fuels, maybe in the late 2030s become an opportunity. But we're also working here in the US with the Department of Energy on a project to understand how ethanol might be an opportunity. So of course, public-private has to be a part of this. We have to stay aligned with the views of regulators and regulatory bodies so that together we can move forward. And part of this is also continuing to educate the regulators. And that's, I go back to my point. I think step number one is for everybody to be on the same page and understand just where agriculture is starting from. And then all of these opportunities to make sure that we don't look past the value we're already creating, but also that we understand the impacts of some of these decisions that you talked about earlier that are causing European farmers to rightfully so get upset with what tools they have in their toolbox. And so we have to be working public, private together, both on an understanding of where we are, truly articulating the problems we have and the easiest ways to solve them. And then through public-private funding, go after some of these best opportunities.
I know we're coming to the end of our time. It's just been terrific talking to you, Deanna. Before we close, let me kind of throw one last question at you. I'll try and fit two into one question if I can. You've talked about opportunities. If you look ahead over the next 10 years, what do you think are the biggest challenges, both for you at John Deere, but for all of us in the food and ag system? And perhaps to close on an even more positive note, you're clearly a very positive person. What excites you the most about the 10 years that are ahead of us and beyond?
Well, you know, I am very fortunate to be able to visit farmers all over the world, from, you know, extra large farmers in the Cerrado of Brazil to France to Germany. I was in the UK just 2 weeks ago visiting farmers. And I would tell you that there isn't a farm I step foot on that doesn't tell me that one of their biggest opportunities is the ability to get the skilled labor they need to execute the work that they do. And so I believe one of the biggest opportunities is for us in agriculture to help with automation, maybe eventually autonomy, to allow farmers to do a really good job, no matter who's in the seat or if anyone's in the seat at all, and to really take the waste out of agriculture by automating. And I talked about See and Spray, Sense and Act technologies that allow us to cut herbicide use by 60%, because instead of spraying the whole field, we just spray where there's weeds. There are way more opportunities like that in agriculture that will allow us, again, to drive economic and environmental sustainability together. And so I am super excited about the automation that is going to come to agriculture. And it is the opportunity we have to help automate decisions in real time that allow farmers to become more efficient. And we're on a journey to do just that. And probably what gets me most excited is I talked about, we've been at this for 25 years in the industry and at John Deere, but we are literally just getting started with all of these opportunities that are ahead of us. The opportunities ahead of us are greater than everything we've done as an industry already. And that, to me, is the most exciting part about agriculture and where we're headed.
What a great way to finish our conversation. I could spend another half an hour or more talking to you, Deanna. I know your time is precious, so we'll call it there. But thank you very much indeed for taking the time to talk to us today, sharing your perspectives with such candor and passion and enthusiasm. It's just been terrific to have you on the show. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mark.
You've been listening to another edition of the Food Systems Podcast, brought to you by the Forum for the Future of Agriculture. Join us again next time.